What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dying time's here.
Come with me if you want to live.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
The Force will be with you. Always.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the collaboration between 20th Century Geek and Stories Out of Time and Space, our G.I. Joe retrospective. And as usual, I'm joined by Julian Darius. Julian, how are you doing? You okay?
I want to say Yo Joe, but I'm filled with sadness over the loss of so many Joes.
Oh, it's no, just... Joe.
No, Joe!
Yeah.
They should shout that as Channing Tatum dies, you know.
This film,
how about you?
I'm good. I am sort of like I've got some like assumptions that the background of this film being made is probably more interesting than some of the things in the film. But yes, we're back for G.I. Joe Retaliation from 2013. The soft reboot sequel thing that is. Come after, so the tone has changed. So basically, a lot has changed in, and we get a bit of a prologue telling us why. But this does still star or has in it Channing Tatum as Duke. It is then joined by Dwayne the Rock Johnson as Roadblock, Adrian Palalicki as Lady J, Lee Byung Hun is back as Shadowstorm, as is Ray Park as Snake Eyes. And they're joined by Ray Stevenson, a favourite of mine. I like Ray Stevenson's Firefly. Elodie Young as Jinx. Jonathan Pryce is back as the president. And I don't know whether he actually appeared. Even if he was on set, but Arnold Vosloo is back as Zartan. And others as well, including a change. Luke Bracey now playing Cobra Commander and DJ Contrana playing Flint. So, big cast. A lot going on. And it's
better for having replaced Cobra Commander, frankly.
100%. Like, this is a real Cobra Commander in this film. Full costume, full going on. I kind of like how this deals with the last film, where like, there's a small prologue that calls after the nanobite wars.
Yeah, that's an odd phrase.
Basically, Duke was put in charge of the Joes. No idea what happened to General Hawk. Just sort of... He retired. I don't know where he is because he's not in this film. Even though they bring out another retiree.
And Duke was the recent recruit from the guy recruited in the last movie. Why is he in charge? Yeah, doesn't really make sense. But it is sort of handled with this quick update. I mean, Cobra Commander here, like there was no connection with the Rex from the previous movie. Mm-mm. There's no reference to it. He is full on Cobra Commander. He acts like he's been doing this forever. People refer to him as Cobra Commander. He just calls himself the Commander at the end of the first one. I mean, he is just full on. They just treat this like, we did that work. Fuck it. We're done. You know? Yeah. Like, sweep that shit under the rug. And it's much better for it.
Oh, 100%. I completely agree. I mean, when later on, we got Walton Goggins as well as a sort of the prison warden. And I always like him again. Another good presence in films.
Yeah,
but you're right. He literally just introduces him as Cobra Commander, and like, he's like, "Oh, cool." So they're going with that. Fantastic. I'm all on board. They keep some of the thing, like the injury stuff. Like he's still got the metal plate on his head. He still needs the mask to breathe. It's very Darth Vader. But
they sort of allude to that in one scene,
and that's it.
And then he's just Cobra Commander.
You know, it's fine. It's a soft reboot. But. Let's just give a quick summary of the plot. The G.I. Joes are not only fighting their mortal enemy, Cobra, they are forced to contend with threats from within the government that jeopardizes their very existence. Basically, the Indian, or at one point, I think it's Indian or Pakistani, I can't remember, president is killed, and Snake Eyes is framed for it, and it's going to escalate into war, and the Joes are sent in to steal or to basically capture the nuclear warheads before they can be used. And then
one nuke in Pakistan. You know.
And the president then frames it as Snake Eyes killed this guy, and the Joes went in and have now got
Right.
nuclear power. And therefore, they are now on the run, and he has created this unit called Cobra to find them and track them down. And then, but what you find out is that it wasn't Snake Eyes; it was in fact Storm Shadow dressed as Snake Eyes that killed the Indian Prime Minister and
Pakistani.
Pakistani. Sorry, and he then gets taken to prison and then uses the time to rescue
Like
Cobra
a
Commander.
fifth of the world's population is offended by that mistake. Like, I
I'm
know
sorry. That was, yeah.
it is. It's like from our perspective, we're like, white people living in, on the other side of the planet, just going like India, Pakistan, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Over there, that's
I'm going to
not.
say that I gave it as, and I apologize for it, but I gave it as much credence as this film gave it. So,
Yeah, that is absolutely true. I mean, I think what's amazing to me, I love this movie. This is the best J.J. movie ever made.
it's
This
not a
is
high bar, though, is it? Let's be fair.
well, that's true. But that is true. But this is legit fun. And this has taken the fun of the first one. It's shifted the cast a little. But this movie is committed to being fun in a way that that first one wasn't. And this movie commits to all of those kind of silly elements, like Cobra Commander, that it seemed to feel slightly guilty about in the first one. The first one sort of couldn't decide what it wanted to be, like a very serious military movie about loss and combat, and losing your loved one to nanomites.
And
Or is it,
exoskeletons, and
oh yeah,
yeah.
or was it the movie with exoskeletons and Paris and
Yeah.
Baroness and all that? I mean, this movie knows what it is, and it
Oh,
is so much
yes.
fun. And I will say though, this beginning is the by far the worst part of the movie. Like I would say, sort of like 20 minutes in, you would think this is on par with the last movie, if not a little worse. It starts with this
You mean
raid.
everything with Channing Tatum in? Yes, I'd agree.
Yes, no, Channing Tatum is just like, I mean, people were sad that he was killed off, 20 minutes into this movie, and I'm like, nope, that
No.
makes it a better movie. I'm, you know, yeah, so, but I mean, it starts with this raid where they save this guy and Flint raises the G.I. Joe flag. Well, yeah, that's stupid. Why did you risk the mission to do that? They're joking about if you see him, kill him. Like, is that a joke? Are you joking about killing your own soldier? I don't know. Then we have, the story of the Pakistani president being assassinated, and they go steal a nuke. That's a decent action scene, but then, there's this like stuff with Roadblock and Duke just to establish that they're friends with each other's families, except Roadblock is already kind of like the dominant person in that relationship because he's going to survive and be the important character in this movie. And that continues even right before Duke's killed. They have this strange shooting contest where, Roadblock wins and, is forcing somebody who outranks him to babysit, and it's all kind of awkward and none of this really works. So I'd say like the first 20 minutes, you're right. I mean, it doesn't give it a lot of credence, but yeah, this is like the bad portion of this movie.
Yes. Well, the other thing is, the Dwayne Johnson in this is an odd one to me, because, and I don't know whether it's why it's chosen in a certain way, but this is the period in his career when he was trying. So this is, he was looking to do things. This is sort of the near the start of his Fast and Furious sort of. He joined Jumanji. Like, this is when The Rock, or Dwayne Johnson, was known as sort of like the franchise revitalizer. Like, they'd add him to a franchise and then it would make more money. This is what gave him his ego, to be fair. So he's trying, like, he's bringing charisma. I think he's all good at it. He's fine in it. But the fact that they establish him as a family man at the beginning with like two daughters and all sort of stuff, instantly you're like, well, of course he's never going to be under any actual threat then. So, okay, let's take that out. Because you're not going to have that at the end of the film where like Roadblock gets
The kid's
messed up in front.
crying.
Yeah, like
I wish
so.
they would. I mean, that's reality, right?
So,
Yeah, Duke doesn't have any kids.
No, it just it
Where's
so
the
no.
Baroness in all of this?
Well, this is the
Did we
thing, like.
just get a shot of her like crying at the end, going like, I finally regained my memories and now Duke died?
I don't know. It drops a lot of stuff, but having like Roadblock have kids and all sort of stuff makes him kind of like a non-stakes kind of character, which is kind of a he's fun, but like it makes it kind of silly. I hate all that. But you're right.
I
Once
do
that
too.
sort of done, it kind of kicks into gear to being something kind of fun. And John, as you, I think you sort of mentioned it, Jonathan Pryce in this film having a ball like as the president is just incredibly fun. When he can be sort of like he has to be serious and sort of the and then in other scenes like he can just be evil and arch and all that kind of stuff and he's
He gets to play multiple
and he's
characters
good.
mul with multiple ranges, and he chews the scenery. He he is full on Waterworld.
Oh, he goes full hopper in this film at
He goes
points
full hopper. That's our term now. Yeah.
I
And he's
love him for it.
brilliant. He steals the show. He steals the show in every scene that he's in. Even watching this, I've seen this movie so many times. Every time I see it, I want more of him. I'm just like, figure out some way just to add 2 more minutes of him as
Playing
the
Angry
president who
Birds.
don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
Yeah,
playing
the
Angry
Angry
Birds with
Birds,
it.
it's so amazing.
So, yeah, no, there's so much in this that works well. And you're right. I think the thing is, once it sort of it shakes off the remnants of that last film and reestablishes itself, like it has a lot of fun then. And it introduces there's elements I have to ask about that I was kind of confused about as well as sort of think that they're good. But like the plot in general is kind of silly. Like, Cobra Commander takes over America. There's the have the Cobra banners hanging from sort of the White House and there's this whole
Oh,
thing
I
that,
love that. I
we'll get to
mean,
the
any
nuclear
movie,
disarmament, but
it's like Superman 2, right? When you're like, oh my God, Zod's in the White House. Like, Superman 2 has to be one of the most just ahead of its times movies ever made, even more than the first one, where the bad guys win, and here, I mean, just seeing the Cobra banners in the White House, like, any movie that does that, I don't care how bad that movie is, I am paying to see that movie in the movie theater. I mean, that is just a brilliant, that visual sells should sell 1 million movie tickets.
It did okay. I mean, it did pretty well. But the thing is that this has a thing of having two films on the go at once, and it successfully does it. To be perfectly honest, it's forget the old stuff. It shakes off the old stuff, and then still manages to have two films on the go. You have the Roadblock, Flint, and Lady J kind of with a
Plot.
last. Yeah, we're now on the run. We're now fugitives, kind of plot, which is fine and good. And they introduce Bruce Willis again. Unfortunately, Edit coming to the end of his career and not caring, like, if The Rock is trying to show range and Jonathan Pierce is showing range, like, I think I've never seen Bruce Willis so wooden as he is in this film. Like, does not care about being on this set. I think
He's fine. He's still Bruce Willis.
it's still
It's look,
cool, but like,
it's still a better performance than the last two Die Hard movies where he's
yes.
crying, a
Yeah,
little
that's
more.
fair.
But I mean, let's be crystal clear. The main action thing that he does, I mean, he never moves quickly in this movie.
No.
The main action thing that he does is lie in the back of a vehicle. Like, literally. And it's a cool, they figure out how to make it look cool as shit, but
It
basically
works.
it's just Bruce Willis is in this movie too,
Yes. Oh, yeah.
which
It
is
will.
awesome. Hey, I got a G.I. Joe movie with Bruce Willis in it. Like,
Well,
that's pretty great.
his credit is a with Bruce Willis. So he has that thing.
Yeah.
But the other film that's going on this is kind of like some modernized revenge
American
American Ninja. Yeah, you've got
Ninja.
like I've got RZA as or playing a blind master, blind kung fu master or ninja master. We had the death of Hard Master brought back, and then we've got the revenge and everything going on between Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. And one of the best scenes in this film is the cliff face. Ninja
Yes.
fight is just fantastic.
I agree. I'm so glad you said that because I agree completely. And you know, that's an homage to, you know, the silent issue of G.I. Joe that was the first, you know, silent. I mean, like the people who made this movie spent a lot of money choreographing that silent sequence. The fact that Snake Eyes, I mean, that Storm Shadow is caught, it doesn't make sense in terms of plot, right? Because we're gonna, as soon as Storm Shadow is recovered, he says, "I'm not really Cobra. Zartan killed the Hard Master," and all of that's straight from the comics. You know, that's great. So why did, you know, he could have just said that instead of having you kidnap him, but it makes for one of the best, like, seriously, this is one of the best action sequences in movie history. I mean, this has got to be up in the top 100. And they managed to catch and the villain, and you're like, great, this is over. Oh, now you've got to extract a coffin-like body while repelling fighting ninjas along a mountainside, and it is just mind-blowing, you know, and it is so much fun. And it has these two sequences like that where, you know, you sort of think it's over, they got Storm Shadow, but no, it was just beginning. I agree. I mean, I think it is a staggering sequence that honors the characters, that really loves G.I. Joe and what it's doing, and manages to turn in just, you know. And this is the middle of the film.
Yeah, I
I
was
think
gonna say,
basically everything from this to the end of the movie is kind of great. Like, you know, that early part is a little rough. By the time you get to this stuff, it's pretty much full throttle until the finish.
Oh yeah, no, I'll probably argue with you about the ending bits, but I think this is the height of the film, the whole ninja bit. Elodie Young, who it as Jinx, is great. So she's, you know, she went on to play Elektra in the Netflix Daredevil series, and she was really good in that as well. So, you know, fully capable, very good actress. And she's great in this. Like, yeah, she's just this sort of but I love that you said they've leant into this thing of like, we're gonna have a really, really cool action sequence of them, like you said, sort of like, you know, swinging off a sheer cliff face. They're gonna be sort of like sword fighting as they go at each other and sort of swing past each other and stuff. It's brilliant. Like, I was really impressed. Again, I was like, this is really well choreographed. It's like this is clearly not on a cliff face, but so the special effects in this thing are phenomenal in the sense of like, at no point do I go, that looks like a backdrop or that looks like a green screen. It just looks like they're in the mountains. Like, it's really well shot to feel expansive, but I know it's not there, but it looks great. I could not fault this at all. Like, it's my favorite part of the film. But then on the other flip side of it did start with what is feels like a throwback to like 70s kung fu films, when I'm like, why do I have a black rapper pretending to
No.
be a ninja master? That kind of feels cool but weird, and I'm gonna go with
Yeah,
it.
I
Fine.
agree. I think that's a mistake. You know, I'm you know, and you and I have talked a lot about you know, sort of like whitewashing and, you know, people getting mad at, you know, like, you know, characters being recast as, you know, minorities as time goes on. And both of us are like, it's fiction, get over it. I do have to say, if there's one case where I would understand the criticism, it's I just do not understand a black Japanese, you know, master, who wasn't in the first one. I mean, yeah, and there's no line of dialogue to, and his acting is over the top, but not in the same over the top way as everyone else. Like it, I mean, he seems like
He's
he's
not an
out of a
actor.
Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh, exactly. Well, I think that's what he thinks he's in. Like, he's there going, oh, I've seen Kill Bill. That's what I'm in. I'm in Kill Bill while everybody else is in G.I. Joe. And that's where I'm going, like, it feels weird. Like, I don't mind him being black. That's sort of less, because I don't know the character, so I've got no attachment. But it's more the fact that I'm like, I know that you're a rapper and you're not an actor, and this feels very stagey. This feels very weird for this, like, this scene feels
Very
like it's,
gratuitous cameo kind of, yeah,
yeah,
weird
like,
casting.
yeah, exactly. That's the bit
And
where I'm
it
like,
is.
yeah.
No, and he should not. I mean, like, look, I mean, I'm not offended that he's black. It's a fictional character, but I do not understand. I mean,
It's more the
it's kind of
casting that's
cool.
weird. Yeah.
It's kind of cool, but it's cool in like the spirit. like the spirit movie kind of way, where you're like, I kind of admire that, but I also see that it's a terrible choice. Like that's how I feel about him.
No, it's just fair. Like, yeah, I know, I feel the same. I think the spirit is one of the exactly where you go, I see what you were trying for, but I think everybody else is just as confused as I am, even on set. But no, I agree. I think, again, Ray Park and Lee Byung-hun do a fantastic job again as Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. Snake Eyes' suit is much better in this film, as far as I'm concerned.
I like it more in the first one, I have to say. I mean, I feel like this one is composed of just kind of like shells, one, sort of like metal plate after another. It sort of looks like a modern equivalent of chainmail, and I can kind of see that from a tactical standpoint, but it doesn't look like Snake Eyes for me.
No, okay.
It
But
just,
again, it's that thing of
but
like, because I'm
I'm
not
a
attached to it.
G1
Yeah, but yeah,
guy,
you've got that
yeah.
thing. I mean, it's clearly influenced by Batman Begins. I mean, it's, it's a, it feels like it was taken from
Like
that kind of like the
tactical kind of body
tactical.
armor kind of thing.
But no, I think it looks, it works for me. But yeah, all this stuff's
But
cool.
brilliant sequence,
Excellent
start to
sequence.
finish. I mean, there's so much stuff with, like when they're running sideways along the cliff face and using their swords to slash the lines of the red ninjas. Yeah, I mean, it's there's stuff like that that you see that you're just like, I can't believe I'm watching this. I've never, how is it that we've probably seen a million action sequences in movies. We've never seen this.
Yeah, no, it
And
feels
it is
unique.
kind
It
of
feels.
impractical, but I mean, it works. It's amazing.
Oh yeah, no, it feels like unique to that degree where you're like, wow, this is actually really cool. This, I can't believe I haven't seen something like this sort of thing. Yeah, and maybe there is, and I've just not seen it yet, but it is cool. I really enjoyed it. But you're right. When this is kind of like the entry point to the, not so much the third act, but I'd say sort of like, well, yeah, leading up to, I suppose, the third act, where everything sort of like climbs up to the big action. And but you've still got a plot going on of the investigation into getting the president and all sort of stuff, or finding out the president isn't
That's
the
been
president.
replaced by Zartan, yeah.
So you've got all that sort of going on. I think one of the problems I have with this film, again, coming from a casting point, I think The Rock's good in this film. I think he brings what he needs to bring. He's got charisma. He's got sort of like, he brings enough of him to the role to be like, oh, cool. Like, it's attention. I think Adrian Pellicky is good. I'm always a fan of her. I think she's had a weird career where she's kind of like, she's good as Lady J, but she was in like Agents of Shield. She's in the Orville. She was almost Wonder Woman at one point. She did a pilot as Wonder Woman. She seems to be always verging on becoming like bigger
Bigger,
than
yeah.
she is. So I think she's good. It's the other guy. It's the other guy that seems to be kicking around with them.
Flint. He just blends into the background. Like he's fine, but like I always forget that he's in this movie. It's funny, like there are three survivors of this attack that you follow, and they are joined by Joe Colton, who by the way, is in the comics.
I was going to
Joe
ask.
Colton is in the comics. That's from like that is a deep cut to like Larry Hama's, like it's not until like the issues the 80s. Where they introduce Joe, and he has a wife who was sort of like the secretary of the early Joe team, and the idea is that they're sort of like a reference to the 60s and 70s G.I. Joe, which was like Action Man and all that stuff before it turned into the 3 3/4, toys, and was reinvented as Fighting Cobra. But Joe Colton is kind of like the original, G.I. Joe. So
Well,
how much did that?
they even say in the film, do they? He's the reason we're
Yeah.
called Joes. So, yeah.
Right. And so for me, as a Joe fan, I'm watching this going like, oh man, I never thought I'd get to see like Joe Colton in a G.I. Joe movie, let alone played by an older Bruce Willis. Like I'm just a pig in shit. Like this is amazing. Yeah. But I remember that, but I always forget like Flint is even a character in this movie.
No, honestly, there are scenes when like he'll start having dialogue, and I'm like, "Oh shit, you're here! Okay, like there's another." Like, yeah,
His superpower is he should be like the master of disguise because you just always forget he's in the room.
Well, he's a better ninja than Snake Eyes. He just seems to fade into the background completely,
That's right.
repeatedly. I forget that he's in this, and then you're like, "Oh, he's there talking to, Lady J or whatever." And I'm just like, "What purpose? Like, he serves no purpose in this
Yeah.
plot at all. Like, he doesn't ever do anything really."
Well, he raises the G.I. Joe flag in the beginning, which is kind of like an homage to, the G.I. Joe animated movie, right? Where Flint, because Flint was depicted as like the renegade, kind of like a little off the leash in that one, which is strange because he's not depicted like that anywhere else in G.I. Joe fiction. He's basically just a really good soldier. But in this, he's kind of depicted as a little off the leash, but then he never does anything with that when, they're literally renegades and he's not important to anything.
Well, what makes it clear to me how little import he has on this is he's the one that's not on the poster. All the others are. I mean, granted, like Ray Stevenson isn't, but you've got like Bruce Willis front and center, followed by like The Rock. Channing Tatum's on there. Jinx is on there. Shadow Storm, or Storm Shadow. Sorry, Snake Eyes, and then Lady J, and then Cobra Commander behind them all. Yeah, no Flint on the poster. They clearly knew he was a non-event and not a draw. So,
Yeah, I mean he's also, I mean I guess he's one of the least known actors, but as you say, there are some other, I mean Lady Jane, is not a well-known actress. But I mean at least she has more of a character. They make an impression. But also he has no visual style. Like he's like the what like the closest thing he has to any character is just being like a white boy in the hood as Roadblock meets his family. And it's just like I wonder if there was a cut of this movie where he, said like, "Hi, homies, I'm down with you," or something. Like that would have been the most function that he would serve in the entire plot. Yeah, so he yeah, I'm it's funny, we both totally forget that he's in this movie.
Oh, he's just so funny as a non, as I say, as a non-character. Like, yeah, at one point, they go to like Joe Colton's home, and I have a question. I've got a question about this because it was kind of funny. It's done as a bit of a montage, and it's kind of led as a joke. They go into they break into the house. They can't see anyone. Then sort of, Joe Colton, Bruce Willis sort of like sneakily comes down and pulls a gun behind them and all this other stuff. Right, so he's meant to be on the ball still, but older. But he's not
Got the
allowed to
drop
cut.
on them, damn it.
Yeah, kind of thing. But he's not allowed to come out of retirement for some reason. Not sure why. He never really explained why he's not allowed to come out of retirement. But he can re-enlist. All right, cool. So he's going to re-enlist to help the Joes.
I think he's just saying that, right? I mean, because like the Joes are, I mean, yeah, an international team. They're basically disbanded at this point. He's just making an excuse.
But the other thing that it's kind of cool, but like still, if you've ever seen the film Red, it has
Yeah, of
that sort of
course.
feel. This felt very much like Red, where he's like, "Oh, I'm going to re-enlist. I have some things for you," and then manages to basically dismantle the lower half of his house because it turns out to be a massive arsenal of weapons. And again, it's one of those things where you go, "Oh, it's fine, it's cool," but like, there's a moment he
It's
opens the
cool.
cupboards, and the cupboards are clearly like an inch deep. It's like not even well hidden,
Yes.
and you're like, and then he opens a drawer, and I'm
I
like,
have that thought
again,
too.
it's like it
He
looks
opens a drawer and you're like, you would like, you notice there's 2 inches missing on the bottom of this drawer. Like, this is not well.
Someone
And those
tries to use the
cupboards.
hob, doesn't work. Oh, because there's a machine gun underneath it.
Oh, yeah. You
Like,
mean the pot, the coffee kettle, the water heater? I mean, it's glued to the stove. Yeah, I had the same thought, right?
This
Yeah,
house
no,
is
I mean,
not
I completely
functional.
like.
It's just full of guns. So, two questions.
It's kind of cool, but it does
It's one of those
raise the
things.
question too
Yeah.
easy.
This is that we I'm going to pick this because I did it with the last film. I
Yeah.
have to have these picks. Who built this stuff? Like, what contractor came in and he was like, "Why do you need this?" Don't it doesn't matter. Don't ask questions. And then the other thing is
Scott, I'm an American. I know people who have armories in their house, much like this, by the way.
okay, because the other thing is,
I
what's he
mean,
expecting? Like, what is Colton expecting that he thinks he needs this level of Or is he just a prepper? Is that what
I
it
have
is?
often asked this about people who live like this.
Fair enough.
And they will say things like, well, when the government comes knocking on my door, and I'm like, they have rocket launchers and they're watching you with heat vision. Like,
Yeah.
I mean,
And they won't come knocking.
you're
They'll
not
use a
lasting.
drone. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, they'll come knocking, but once you've shot those officers standing on your doorstep, things are going to go really bad for you really
Yeah.
fast, right? And you're not going to, it's not going to matter how many guns you have hidden around the house. But I mean, I do know people who kind of have an armory in lots of locations like this. And I have the same question. Like, what are you expecting?
Yeah.
I think this is just an American thing that certain people like to live like this, just in case.
Fair enough. I will let it go on this occasion, and it's but it does feel like a weird scene where he's just walking around, like, opening cupboards and pulling on things, and he's like, "Guns, guns, guns," and then has an armored sort of like beach-ready tank in the garage.
Yeah,
And
no, I mean,
all the artillery to go with it, not just the guns, but he has all the ammunition and everything else to go with each of these things, which is
I can
worrying,
kind
but.
of accept it. I mean, but I do have the same thought of like, yeah, this is not a functional house. There are
Yeah.
better ways of hiding than this. It's supposed to be just a cool scene that you clearly are not supposed to think that much about, right?
No.
I can, it's sort of like, yeah, I can 75% buy it. But I know the point is it's a cool scene and it doesn't, you're not supposed to look too deeply at it.
Yeah, which is
And but it is
fine.
cool, and
It is.
unlike the first movie, it's like it is cool. They get in and they get out, right? I mean, yeah, those closet, those cabinets are not deep enough, right? You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but it's like you say, it's in and out, so it's they don't linger on it, so it's fine. But it's yeah, the thing that I wanted to note, and we sort of said, I want to sort of the Joes are the Joes, right? That's the thing, they're kind of like generic characters. They're kind of, when I watched that first cartoon, the Real American Hero. And I'll joke about it and say, like, the base of G.I. Joe's is kind of like the village people of the military. They're all wearing different costumes. It's all kind of elaborate. There's big shoulder pads and different hats and all kinds of things going on. And they've leant out of that and they've gone, no, they're going to be dressed in like military fatigues and all this other stuff, but they're going to have like distinctively little bits and that sort of thing. Snake Eyes will still be Snake Eyes. Fine, happy with that. But they're kind of like generic, which is why Flint sort of disappears into the background. Cobra's crew, though. Storm Shadow's ace. Storm Shadow's all in white, looks awesome. Like the dude, pulls it off, looks great. Ray Stevenson as Firefly is suitably unique. I like him as an actor. He's a character actor I've always liked in things. He may actually be one of my favorite Punishers, just saying.
I
He's
forgot he
he
played Punisher, yeah.
yeah. He's one of these sort of actors. I like him, so he's got a cool presence. So I'm fine with that. Yeah, I think he's going to. Jonathan Pierce is like doing Jonathan Pryce, or he's doing something cool whenever he's into it. But to top it all off, Cobra Commander in this film is just brilliant. His costuming is ace. Like you said, they get past the thing, like, oh, he needs the mask because he needs to breathe. So, right, let's do the Darth Vader thing. But beyond that, like the design of the helmet with like the Cobra sort of thing at the top, the purpley blue, like it looks. And then he is just in charge. All the time, and I'm like, oh, this is the Cobra Commander we're supposed to have. Like, this is
Totally
the.
confident,
Yeah.
chewing the scenery, Yeah, and I mean, look, I object slightly to his costume. Like, I want it to be even more sort of old school, but they've gotten rid of that confusing, weird face mask that they put on him at the end of the first one, where it wasn't even shot right. And he's just in a version of his classic costume. Sort of like blue frame around a flat, around a relatively flat faceplate, or and yeah, I agree. It looks amazing. He's got presence. This is the Cobra Commander we want. You totally buy him as like a world conqueror,
Yeah.
leader of a terrorist, a charismatic leader of a terrorist organization. Yeah, I mean, and I agree. Like, Storm Shadow's great. the president, because Zartan's barely in this, the actor who plays Zartan, right? If I mean, he is fantastic. I think the president steals every scene. Zartan's fun. Firefly is fun. All of the Cobras are just rocking this. I feel bad that they ruined the Baroness and can't have her in it, or that they didn't choose a better actor for Destro, frankly. But
I love how they leave Destro behind when he's like, you're off the field, and just walks off, and I'm like,
Well, he says, "We're breaking up. We're the band," and
see?
there's no motivation for it because Destro was loyal to him through the whole movie. It's just clear, like,
We couldn't
yeah,
get Eccleston back.
we
You're
didn't want
out the band.
Eccleston. Yeah, Eccleston wouldn't come back, and we don't want no. But he's behind a mask. We cast him too. But yeah, man, how cool would it be if they just recast him, put him behind the mask, and recast him, and gave him his wrist missiles, and just made him look, be just like growling Destro, more cartoon Destro with using those wrist missiles, and just made him a
Yeah,
badass.
I 100%
I would
could have
love
done.
it.
So yeah, should have brought it back. But no, the thing is, this whole plan, the fact that it gets as far as it does, like the last plan was all a little bit silly, the nanopots and the whole thing of bringing down Paris or the Eiffel Tower and everything else. Like the nanobots are better than I. This plot though, the
Well,
fact that it works,
the last
technically.
plan was super convoluted, right? Let's be crystal clear. Like, super villains, especially after The Dark Knight, right? I mean, that makes this a lot worse. Like, super villains have to have the most convoluted plans imaginable, right?
And
Like, there has to
contingencies
be
up the
like,
wazoo.
yes, like, well, I wanted you to be the first entire scheme, because that's part of my plan B, which is, what I really was after, and all of that is really about plan C. And this is just, nobody just invades a country anymore. I miss the good old days.
Straightforward colonialism is what we want.
Yeah,
that,
just
to be
like,
fair, that's what he says. Because when they actually challenge him, say, "What do you
huh?
want?" He's like, "Everything," and you're just like, "Oh, cool."
Yeah.
Straightforward.
But no, here it's a lot more straightforward. That first one is very convoluted, but here, the whole nuclear weapons thing is the first one is convoluted. This one kind of like strains credulity, but it is so brilliantly done. I mean, like, this is so brilliantly done. The scene with the angry birds where, I mean, this has to be one of my favorite scenes in movie history, of just, the charisma of, the president, as he says, "I'll be brave enough to, destroy my missiles. The world is coming to an end." I mean, it's not perfect, but it is just astounding how, I mean, you're competing with Dr. Strangelove for,
Yes,
military,
that was
and
my
succeeding. Like,
Well, it's
that's a
the fact
staggering accomplishment.
the thing is, it's one of those things where I question whether or not every country has a remote suitcase
Of
that's
course.
slightly that's they carry around continually to
Launch their
launch nuclear
entire
weapons.
arsenal,
Their entire
right? Because it
nuclear
doesn't work
arsenal.
if one nuke is held behind. And also, that all nukes are programmed with a self-destruct sequence, which does not irradiate the
Well,
entire world.
that
Like,
was what I
what?
thought. I was like, aren't you just like setting them off in the atmosphere, which is worse?
Yes, and we know what happened when, one nuke was set off in the upper atmosphere, and it disrupted communications globally. So, like, presumably, this is a massive EMP effect. All of that's ignored. But it doesn't matter because it's so brilliantly shot, and the president is so wonderfully effective. And all of, This is that movie magic thing, right? Where he can say, like, I figured North Korea would be last. You know, like he's digging North Korea. And the North Korea, the guy playing the North Korean representative,
Yeah.
sh shrugging his shoulders, going like, why are you picking on me? And there's just so many wonderful touches like this. And it's just fast. Everything works. I just adore this whole sequence.
No, it is. It's good. I mean, it plays well. It and it's like you say, the moment, he's kicking back and they're all sort of he's kicking back playing Angry Birds, and they're sort of deciding what they're going to do. But the fact is that, like, all this was the fact that it turns out to be a ruse at the end of it all, and basically he's like, "Well, there we are, nuclear disarmament done," and you're like, "Oh, okay," and then like then the Cobra Commander steps in and is like, "Now I shall take charge." And as you say, sort of like great entrance, walking down that flight of stairs, looking really cool. And again, it's a bit like that thing of saying, like, well, he basically comes in again, not messing around. It's not sort of, it's, they're, they are going to go for the arch villain thing, but they're also going to say, we're now going to prove why. And I love this. I didn't Google this, and maybe I should have done, but this idea is like, we don't have. I'm not messing around with nuclear weapons. I just have a tungsten carbide rod that I'm going to drop from an
This is real, by the
incredible,
way. Oh no,
incredible
this is
height.
absolutely real.
Yeah. So no radiation, nothing else. And he drops it on London. And
None of the radiation, all the fun,
yeah,
right? I mean, this
is that what
movie
you
is
said?
filled with those kinds of like
Yeah.
twists on, advertising jingles and stuff like that, all of which work, to one degree or another.
No,
And
I
then
like this. It's
you get to watch, this is your version of Independence Day. You get to watch London be destroyed.
yeah, no great loss.
Yeah,
But no, I love the scene. I mean, it's a great, again, it's a really cool visual where like you just see the thing going and it erupts like from underneath, and you see like you see Tower Bridge collapsing and this sort of like
the
shock
wheel.
wave. Yeah, the shock wave reaching out and just decimating all these things. Thames River water just coming up in waves and stuff. Looks good. I think the special effect, I should say, I think because the CGI effects in this film stand up. This is 2013. Like they clearly took time to do this stuff. Like it's never perfect, but I still think it's solid work where I'm going like, yeah, all this looks really good. It looks well done. So
I
yeah, no,
think
it's cool.
the rods dropping devices are over-engineered. They
I
look
agree.
good, but it's like,
They're a bit
why are they?
Transformers.
Yeah, they do look like they're from Transformers. I mean, it's like, why are there so many panels? How did Michael Bay design this?
Well, also like when you, there's a whole like sequence where it shows you one of the rods being chosen, and it gets passed from about seven different things, and I'm like, when
I
does it just
know.
get to the hole, just in and
Yeah,
drop?
move it into the hole and
Yeah,
open the front. That's all you have to do. But this
guns
is
have
part
managed
of
to
like,
do this with guns. It's not hard. It comes out of a
yeah.
chamber, goes out the front. That's it.
But this is part of like, that bothers me less than the overall look of the, satellites, because I mean they don't make sense and they have a weird glowing blue energy. I mean, which kind of like I hate. And then they detonate at the end, and I'm
I
like,
hate
why are they
that.
destroying themselves? It doesn't matter. But at that point, I'm so sold on the movie. I'm like, yeah, I don't even care. This is just fun, But yeah, I mean, that's like, you watch Cleopatra, and you're like, raise the obelisk, and there's like a 15-minute scene is like the slaves get into place and raise the obelisk, and you're like, oh right, this is creating artificial dramatic tension. In cinema, that's why there's got to be 20 steps to move the rod in place and drop it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is where the film takes a turn for me, where I've been kind of enjoying all this stuff, and I think it's all good fun. It's good chuckles and stuff. And then the use of it's in high gear. But the attack, the finale of this film, is kind of balls to me. Well, it kind
Balls,
of
like
crap.
bollocks,
Yeah, it's kind of bollocks. In the sense that, like, It's not so it's terrible, but yeah, I've had sort of like some. The thing is, I think the problem is, I'm more enjoying the villains in this film than I am the heroes.
Absolutely.
And you know, the more sort of crazy, I like the whole Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow sections. That's all cool. They're great whenever they're on screen. But when it's just the Joes, and so when it's the Joes like final battle, and they're like, go get. Save the president, and we're going to do this. And the Rock's in his sort of like the tank thing he stole from the Fast and the Furious set, like you know, all those things going on. I'm kind of like, yeah, this is the bit where I'm, you know, we said how unique and cool the cliffs face thing was. Everything in the finale is like, I've seen this before, and not so much done slightly, I wouldn't say done slightly better, but I've just seen it all before, and there's nothing here where I'm endeared enough to a character to be like, oh, this is cool. Like, I want to see the scene. The only time it gets any good is actually the fight on the beach between Firefly
Firefly.
and Roadblock.
Roadblock,
Yeah, that's kind of good. And again, I'm like,
It
that's
is
good.
amazing. I agree with you completely about this. I mean, I do think one of the worst things you can say about this climax for me as a Joe fan is like the first movie didn't have his tanks. Those his tanks are, the classic Cobra his tank is one of the most, iconic vehicles of G.I. Joe. I mean, you could just look at its profile and you're like, oh, that's that weird Cobra his tank thing, right? Here they invent a new Cobra his tank, right? Which they you haven't had in the first movie because it was underwater and planes and all that stuff, but you didn't have tanks. Here there's a Cobra his tank that kind of has like a gun that pivots upward and stuff. And it's an interesting design, but it looks really minimal and non-threatening. And then Roadblock's fighting it, and you never even get like a good shot of one of these Cobra his tanks. You could forget they reference it, you briefly see them, and you just see rounds bouncing off of Roadblock's. It looks like the an Awestriker. And he's going at that whole fight between them is just like watching rounds hit stuff and blow up, and none of it matters, right? You're just totally tuned out.
I will say actually, I want to go back to the Hiss tank. One of my favorite, one of the bit like it literally it did make me chuckle. There's a moment where Cobra Commander's sort of walking in to get to the Zeus, they call them the Zeus satellites, don't they? The big things that drop the lightning bolts. I've just got that. Why they drop bolts? That's a good line. I've just got that. But there's a guy as he walks in, and it's just like some random guy. Who's been working on something, and they say about how he designed these tanks, and he says, you're gonna like the name. High, I forget, isn't it? He says he describes it,
High
and it
speed something,
strategic
sentry.
bit. That's it, high speed sentry. And he just says hiss. But the way he says it, it's kind of
I
like
know.
he's really proud
Over
of
the
it.
top.
Yeah, but I'm like, there you be proud. Well done. That's a good acronym. Well done. But he's like, you're gonna like this. It's hiss. And it's just sort of like I was like, no, I like that. That's a good line delivery. Like, you know, you've got
Would
one
be better if
scene.
Cobra Commander responded. See, I think it's a little over the top, for an underling. I think, Cobra Commander re should respond like, well, my flair for the dramatic, or something very arch.
But it's the
Something
little
like
bits
that
like
would
that.
make
I know, I
this
agree.
better.
That would have been a good. That would have been a nice touch, actually. I think I'd really like that. But the problem is, like, compared to the Joes, I find the Joes boring. So when this thing comes,
Of
you're right.
course.
It's
But that's
kind of
true
like,
throughout the G.I. Joe franchise. Like, I love Cobra. There's a handful of Joes that I can't give a shit about.
But that's, I just find this end kind of like it becomes shooty, shooty, punchy, punchy, but not in any way that I'm like, I know that Roadblock's under no threat. Because they've shown he's got a family, and this film is not about to sort of, you know, they've already killed off Duke. They're not going to kill off Roadblock for the same thing. So that's not happening. So that's all fine. So, but they've only got two of the Joes. So no one's going to die. No one's going to die in this film. They don't have a red shirt to kill off. That's the problem. Apart from like,
Yeah, they could. I
there's a
mean,
bunch of old guys that like Joe Colton, Bruce Willis is kind of sort of goes, I brought some friends. And there's a bunch of old guys with him, and you're like, cool. And they're in one other scene, and then they disappear. So I don't know what happened there. I don't know. I just
not
find this end.
important, yeah.
I just found this whole finale, apart from some moments, boring. where I'm just like, all right, it's not, it, this is not
Yeah, I
compared to,
agree with you.
but that beach, not, but the beach fight is good. And I think, again, Ray Stevenson and The Rock do a good job and they're kind of fun, but yeah.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I think that the roadblock stuff should work better than it does. Partly this is because The Rock is, not much of an actor, I mean, he's able to sort of drive and shoot stuff, but I mean, and it's not choreographed well, and I agree there's a feeling of a bit of a letdown for me. I also think, like, I love Cobra Commander, I love Zartan, I love Storm Shadow. Storm Shadow just, reveals that he's a traitor, the Joes storm in, and it's like, oh, all right, now we're in a fight, and just everything. Suddenly, Cobra Commander's running away, and it's like, oh, right, I guess they've already lost, right? Like, okay. I mean, I will say I agree with all of that, and I do feel disappointed in those moments. And I do agree that, really the Zartan, I mean, the Firefly flight really works because that actor's good, and he says, come on, I want to see that face, like that sort of sadistic edge to him is what makes it great. But I guess I sort of am able to, like, I feel like the movie's won so much goodwill in me that I'm sort of like able to just kind of ride this stuff out. It's sort of fighting in multiple locations that is kind of rote, but it's over relatively quickly. It's not groan-worthy bad. And, I mean, I know that's damning with faint praise, but I'm so used to action climaxes that I'm like, oh my God, how long is this gonna go on? Like, this is so stupid. That's the way I usually feel in action climaxes. And
Oh
so,
no,
yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I just sort of feel like, well, at least it's over fast,
yeah, I don't mind the
and
speed
I've
of
kind of
like
like been so won over by the nuclear stuff that I'm sort of like,
willing to let this sort of yeah. I see whilst I like
I
that
was
thing,
just sort of so charmed at that point that
yeah. No, and that's fine. I am charmed, but and I enjoy those moments. But yeah, it just feels like such a sort of rote climax that ends very quick. I don't mind the speed of it. Like if it felt like, as you say, if the stakes felt, if there was like a, there almost needs to be like a ticking clock, and there almost is. Well, there is, I suppose. But there's like then I don't know if there is actually like that kind of gets dealt with and everything. There's no real stakes to the finale. It's kind of like, as you say, Cobra Commander runs, Zartan sort of then runs. It's all sort of, it kind of sort of just comes together. Like, there's even like saving the president, the real president. They break in, and then all of a sudden you've got like Lady J's coming in, and she's sort of distressed, and she's got a big gun. And then obviously, like you find out that like, they've—I don't know what subterfuge had to happen—that like Bruce Willis has stolen somebody's suit, and I was like, why has he done that? Like, he didn't have to sneak in anywhere. Like, I'm really confused as to like why is Joe Colton? Why has he got a suit on all of a sudden? It's just like, did he think, well, that's a nice suit actually. I think
Yeah.
that's I'll take
Well,
that
this
for
is he
later.
rolls
It's
down the
weird.
sta is this where he rolls down the stairs?
Yeah. Like, did he need it to get
And
you?
yeah, he's sort of like,
There's almost like an
well,
assumption
the
of he's
idea is that he rolls
pretending to
down the
be.
stairs and
Go on. No, he breaks in, doesn't
he
he?
rolls down the stairs and you think he's a bad guy who's been shot by the Joes, and then he obviously it's not Bruce Willis rolling down the stairs. It's a stunt person, and then you look up to see who's the Joes storming in, who killed this Cobra trooper, or and Bruce Willis has been substituted for the guy lying at the base of the stairs. But it's done well enough that unless you're a Bruce Willis fan who's kind of like, wait a minute, he's not moving a lot.
Yeah.
You kind of can forget it.
It's not so much that. It just feels like it doesn't give them enough of a sort of like a tactical or sort of like, advantage that I'm like, oh, this feels like this was a clever trick to allow them to get past this and this. Where I'm like, but everything else, you've literally just sort of driven up to the place with a machine gun, and you've done, like, it feels like you could have just carried on doing that. That this does not feel like a necessary part of the plan for you to save the president. So, okay, it's fine.
No,
It's a moment,
it's
but like,
not. You're right, it's not.
okay.
No, I had the same thought. I was like, why did you use that tactic? Yeah, doesn't matter. You know, it was an entertaining moment in a movie. I mean, that's as deep as it gets. You know. And I again I can kind of forgive some of this stuff because the movie is so much fun in other areas. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, when the Mad Max movies are working and you're like, yeah, this one thing doesn't really make much sense, but I'm so sold on these characters in this world that, you know, I'm willing to forgive them. Yeah, you're right. You're right about the entry. The G.I. Joe strategy is usually, remember, frontal assault.
While shouting Yo
This
Joe.
movie at least has them infiltrate the. Yeah, and they don't do that in this movie. I mean, at least they infiltrate the White House. Yeah, I mean, Bruce Willis rolling down the stairs is like as subtle as G.I. Joe is ever going to get. Like, that's like just a little reference to they're not 100% doing a frontal assault. Like, this thing Bruce Willis is doing is going to be followed by Roadblock rolling up with a Gatling gun, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
So, you know, this is just us saying it's not 100% a full frontal assault. You're welcome, fans.
Fair enough. It's fine. No, you're right. I mean, this has won me over enough, but not wholly enough. So yeah, I mean, the ending, the other thing about they kind of have this, I don't know, I didn't want to call it a subplot. I don't know what it is really, but like throughout the sort of the second half of the film, Bruce Willis's Joe Colton sort of like basically is sexist towards Lady J, and it's kind of it's made up. She calls him on it, and he sort of they have this weirdly kind of not I don't know how to describe it as a relationship antagonistic.
Flirtatious,
Flirtatious yet
but
antagonistic. It's kind of
antagonistic, yeah.
uncomfortable throughout. And then it turns out like he sort of calls it like Brenda, and he sort of says all this other stuff, keeps using these terms. And then we find out at the end of it, he served with her dad, and he says like he would have been proud of you, and you're like, oh, that's quite a nice touch. But then you're thinking, so what was he doing this as a test to be like, oh, I was a prick to your dad, so I'm going to be a prick to you? Like, I don't know. It really feels, it makes it even worse to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, logically it makes it worse, right? It's like I knew your dad. He didn't approve of you, and I won't don't approve of you either. But you proved your mettle by the end. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's Bruce Willis doing Bruce Willis. I think it's supposed to represent the older generation. But there are a number of lines in this, like where, you know, a after he's done with his one shooting scene, well, I guess he has the second when he rolls down the stairs. But, you know, when he shoots the machine gun in the back of the flatbed, Lady J says, you know, you okay? You know, meaning, did you get shot? And he says, well, my cholesterol's a little high. That's a Bruce Willis line, right? I mean, like, and I think the Brenda stuff is just Bruce Willis, you know, charisma, Bruce Willis lines. Yeah, it's sexist, you know, I mean. Of course, it's supposed to sort of represent that earlier generation, but it's delivered with enough Bruce Willis charisma that it's like, I don't know what that means. I don't know how we're supposed to feel about
That's the
it.
problem.
I don't really care because it's sort of like, oh, it's just Bruce Willis playing an old curmudgeon-y guy. You know, at least she calls him on it, so it's not like passed over as if it's okay. And at the end, you know, he gives her the feminist seal of approval, you know, like I've been converted, you know, I recognize your worth, even though I rode you, you know, so to speak, hard, you know, as a soldier. Okay, you know, I mean, none of this is like toxicking it, like, you know, it has those overtones, but it's not toxic enough that I it's like setting off alarm bells for me.
No, it just felt kind of weird. And maybe again,
It is weird.
is
But
it
its
from a.
heart is in the right place. You know what I'm saying? Like, it knows to work that Bruce Willis charisma, but also to have her, speak back to him and, have him endorse her at the end. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really work logically, but it works, it's fine.
Yeah,
It's Grisbull's
it's working
charisma
enough.
stuff, and
It's yeah, it's working enough. I mean, I think that's it, isn't it? Like that's I think this is what this film. I mean, this film definitely a step up from Rise of Cobra, which didn't, which like Cobra Rise is better in this than it does in the first film. And I'm not entirely sure what they're retaliating against, but it definitely has more charm. I think this film has more sense of what it wants to be, which helps an awful lot. To the extent of like after watching this, I did think I was like, oh, this could fit in the Transformers universe. Like this feels like it's hit its tone where you could be like, oh, I could buy these characters now side by side with Cobra Commander and Megatron sort of teaming up
Oh, yeah.
against like Roadblock and Optimus Prime sort of thing. Like I'd
For
buy
sure.
that now. Like, I feel like this has hit its mark where it's like, oh, it's got some confidence and in knows where to sort of lean and where to pull back and that sort of thing. Like, so I definitely felt like they could have done. I would accept this set of Joes or this kind of sort of going against, going up with the Michael Bay kind of Transformers. Not sure how they've done it, but like, because they're two different
I
universes
mean,
starting, but you could have done it.
super easy, you just put them together, I mean, yeah, again, every Transformers movie almost has some sort of military organization that's created for the purposes of plot. I mean, it's there in the original comics too, where it's like, just use G.I. Joe. You own a franchise that is all about this, Yeah, and you could just say, oh, this is another wing of G.I. Joe, we, I mean, Cobra Commander would be fun, but I mean, you could, if you want to tell a Transformers story, just tell a Transformers story. Just have G.I. Joe be that military team that you liaise with, I mean, Cobra Commander can have a as big a role as you want or don't want. But I mean, let's talk about this as part of the franchise, right? So, like, if we think about this in conversation with that first one, right? Like you said, like it's found its tone. I agree with you 100%. Yeah, the titles are weird, right? Like, Rise of Cobra, you've already risen and threatened the world, right? But also, certain characters are just getting started. Very confusing. This is like retaliation. But it's like it's retaliation for what? Losing in the first one? That's kind of what you're supposed to think. Capturing Cobra Commander and Destro, I guess. Yeah, very strange. But yeah, so the titles are stupid, but it does seem to have its characters are stronger. I mean, look, I'm not a big, Dwayne the Wrestler fan, but I think that he this is a his roadblock. I don't need him to rhyme, and be a Cajun cook. But I mean, this is a strong version of Roadblock. This is basically like, Dwayne the Rock Johnson makes sense as a G.I. Joe character. This is a good version of what that character would be like. Bruce Willis makes sense as a G.I. Joe, character. This is basically what that character should be. So, I mean, I guess Scarlet and everyone die too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
ripcord gone. Scarlet
Yeah,
gone.
it'd be nice to at least have, some shots of their bodies or something outside of these, dog tags that are just dumped on Joe Colton's table. But yeah, I mean, I think what's weird to me is the more I watch this, the more I think, I mean, of course, I always wanted there to be a third one, right? More Joe stuff. This is so promising that I think it's moving in the right direction. If the third one were this good, I'd be thrilled. If the third one were a little better, it'd be, pretty classic. But it occurs to me, first of all, that this one is much more of a sequel to the first one than I usually think. I usually think like it kind of is a soft reboot. It kills the entire G.I. Joe team, right? But the truth is, like, It takes a lot of time to break with Walter Goggins and breaking Cobra Commander out, and Storm Shadow impersonating Snake Eyes and getting sent to the prison Joker style, and all of this. And really, the dangling thread at the end of the first one is Zartan's in the White House. Everything that follows in this is, well, Zartan's in the White House. He wants to, free Cobra Commander, and he wants to take, wait until he's got a moment to take revenge on the Joe team, and he does, and eliminates them from the board. So, I mean, I feel like this one, although it has a tonal incongruity and a cast incongruity, the plot actually weirdly is weirdly faithful to the first one. So that's sort of my first observation. The second is, where the hell would you go for a third one? Because like Cobra Commander's still out there. Like Roadblock has, there's this weird thing with Patton's gun. I mean, like, let's be clear, fuck General Patton. General Patton was a monster. But Joe Colton gives Roadblock the gun and says, "This is for Cobra Commander when you find him." Like, okay, good enough. We've killed off everyone except Destro, who's in prison, right? Storm Shadow's a good guy now. They're basically like counting Storm Shadow. What, there are like five, six Joes counting, Joe Colton. It's not much of a team. You can always say they rebuilt the team between movies two and three. Cobra Commander could rebuild and find new characters who are loyal to him. But I mean, there isn't an obvious way to continue this.
No, one of the weird things that these films keep doing is bringing sort of everything to a close in a kind of but an unresolved way. It's like,
Yes, I know. Yeah, well said.
it's really they hang threads, but they're like, yeah, but they're not like, it's not like, the Joes will return in, G.I. Joe, I don't know, retention, or, I don't know what they want to call it, it's what we're going now. Yeah, like you it
The
doesn't,
rise of Cobra Law.
yeah, but like, even with films like this, like, I'm so well trained with Marvel films now. I ran through the credits watching this to see, is there a post credit scene? Like, is there something of, like, Cobra Commander, like, setting up a new base in a jungle or something like that? And they're like, or finding something that would take him to Cobra Lair, or I don't know, some. But I was like, there must be something, because this feels like such a weird sort of full stop, But I'm like, no, there must be. They must have thought, maybe it was, this is pre that kind of sequel setup. But like, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, we want to do a franchise, but we're not sure how to do it. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Just want to go back to a point as well. Very small side point. That thing with the Patton gun, which again, as you say, I'm not interested in American history. Doesn't matter. In that sense of like, it's a gun, But the point that is like, it's taken from a wooden, a military award ceremony. They're being given an award. The president is there, having awarded them.
Yep, I
All these
know.
people are there,
I
and all
had
of a
the same
sudden,
thought.
Roadblock just starts firing off into the sky. Like, no, someone's going to take out Roadblock. Someone's going to be
It's like
like,
you're
he's
on
got
the
a gun.
podium next to the president,
Yes.
and a guy says, "Here, I got a package for you. It's a loaded pistol."
Yeah, that was a bit of an eye-opener. I was like, oh, that's fair enough.
Well, I mean, I can kind of justify it, obviously they've been cleared, presumably you don't get that pistol into that
No.
place without having cleared it with security. So, security knows that's there.
Fine. It's
I
still,
know
it's.
it's a mil I know it's it, yeah, I have the same thought, but yeah, I can,
It just feels like a
yeah.
bit of a, I know it's a silly moment, but it feels like an unneeded moment as well. Like, it's not,
Yeah.
it doesn't do anything.
Well, it's supposed to be honoring Duke. It's supposed Duke. There's this weird way that Duke becomes the stand-in for, like, I really this is a bigger objection that I have, is the way that Duke becomes a stand-in for the like 60 G.I. Joes that were murdered. Like, Scarlet's dead. Like, all the General Hawk is dead. Everybody's dead. But what we really care about is Duke because he somehow became the scrawny team leader between the two movies. Because he was in Magic Mike. I mean, I don't know. This that at the end, it's like he's shooting in the air for their dead comrades, but it's really for Duke. Duke becomes the part
Yeah,
that stands for the whole.
the namesake of all. Yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, it's an odd choice. I mean, I will say, although this is based on like a toy franchise and a cartoon and all this other stuff, one of the things I kept thinking about was like 90s watching these, and I thought about it when we did the Transformers as well, but like 90s films that were trying to do the same thing. And they were usually based on computer games. And weirdly, the two that sort of sprang to mind, they're not great examples, and I'm not lauding them in any way, but is the Bob Hoskins Super Mario Brothers and the 1995 Mortal Kombat. And both of those had more confidence that they were going to get a sequel than this film does. Because like at the end of the Bob Hoskins Super Mario Brothers, like Princess Peachkin turns up, or Princess, and it's Daisy, turns up, and she's like, "You've got to come back with me." It's a bit like Doc Brown turning up at the end of like Back to the Future,
Oh,
like, "You've got to
see, I
come
don't
back with
remember
me."
this at all.
Well, she's like, "It's gone, you've got to come back." And like, "It's gone wrong." And they're like, "Grab your kit." And that's the end of the film, is them sort of leaving out the door. And you're like, "Oh my God, they're off for another adventure." Mortal Kombat is exactly the same. Like, they win, they beat whoever it is in the battle, for the battle, for the whatever. And Raiden returns them to Earth. And then all of a sudden, the villain from one of the other games rises up. And it's sort of like, the invasion of Earth is going to start. And they all turn to fight, and then sort of the music kicks in, and you're like, "Oh my God, look, there's going to be another one." Don't watch the Mortal Kombat sequels. They are dreadful, like they're truly dreadful. But those films kind of felt like there's more confidence and more sort of like, "Oh, we are going to set up the next thing." This film kind of just sort of says, "Yes, we're going to find Cobra Commander," and you're like, "Okay, but like you need to be doing."
He's still out there.
Like Destro still in prison. You should be having some sort of like, you've got so much potential, but it kind of constantly feels that thing that feels like an overhang from the last film of like we're still a little bit nervous about,
Yeah.
going all in on this when it needs to, it needs to, like it should have a
Well, first of
slut
all,
scene.
we need to stop and tell our audience. There is no reason to ever watch the live action Super Mario Brothers movie or any Mortal Kombat movie. Okay. You cannot justify that amount of time being spent on any of that. So it's not the sequels.
No.
Just stop, right?
Yeah.
Save yourself.
But I
Go
will say,
watch
but the Mortal
bad
Kombat.
50s movies instead.
Yes, but listen to the Mortal Kombat soundtrack, because that's ace. Like the song,
Okay.
I li you know, listen to that.
I'll
That's
take your word for it.
2.5 minutes that's worth your time.
Okay, fair enough. No, I know what you mean. Like it could cut to Destro, sort of like being released,
Yes.
and just falling to the ground and rising and saying like,
The band's
I'll
back
have my
together.
revenge, right? Yeah, sure. Or like, I guess my time to start my solo act, or right. Like, whatever. And the thing is, the funny thing is that some kind of like post-credit scene or mid-credit scene would be, which I love, right? I mean, I know it's looked down on by, certain people, but I mean, I think it's, I love like the stingers, the of television, right? Like I love just, yeah, you could do whatever you want before the title sequence, right? I mean, that's a great space. Having an additional space mid credits or post credits is like, no, it still feels like a conclusion. We can still deliver all of that joy of coming to a conclusion, but we can also, I mean, it doesn't lessen those final minutes,
No.
but then we just get this extra space that can feel special and do something. And I do think that's a lost opportunity. And it's strange that it doesn't do that, especially given how like confident and over the top this movie is in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I
But
mean,
I'm with you that I think that there is an underlying confusion to the over the top confidence of this movie. Like it is mostly balls to the wall really good, outing. Goes crazy with the ninja fight in the middle, goes over the top with the president. Great costumes. Great, lots of great stuff, but ultimately is sort of saying like, let's wipe the slate clean and focus on these new characters, and we don't really want Destro. I mean, it again, that definitive problem, that problem of how the first movie did not feel definitive, is continued here. And this just feels like, oh, all those G.I. Joes are dead, right? Like, you can't recast that. They're just dead. It's clear like this team is not going to continue in a third movie, right? It's not going to be Lady Jane, and a Lady J in a third movie. I mean, so we're just going to go another direction yet again. And I think that's unfortunately the, what you're left with.
No, I think you're right. I mean, the only people that would potentially come back would be like Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes. And then you'd be like, they're the ones that appear in three films, at which point they'd be going like, this is a really bad luck unit to be a part of. Like, we in 10 years I've dealt with like
Okay.
four versions of these teams.
Everyone dies,
Repeat
but
repeatedly.
us. Yes.
But no, I mean, going back to that sort of conversation.
Every 4 years, there's a massacre of
Yeah.
the entire G.I. Joe team, and it's like, like, don't join Charlie Company, every 2 years they're wiped out.
It's a really bad look. But yeah, there's a reveal at the end of it that it wasn't Cobra Commander. It's actually Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow behind the whole thing.
That'd be cool, quite cool actually. Like, they're pulling the strings.
No, but going back to the thing about the confidence of this, like another two, a better a better comparison then to let's let me forget Mario Brothers and Mortal Kombat, but just as silly but in the same vein that has a villain teaser or sting at the end. And I always look at, like you say, I like that kind of idea of a sting. The 1980 Flash Gordon film, for all of its sort of, again, I like that film. Grew up as it with it as a kid, but that ends with that sort of like the end question mark, and then you get the Max von Sydow sort of Ming laugh, and then the gloved hand comes in and grabs the Ming, the Merciless ring, and it's sort of like you're like, oh no, it's Ming back. And then the other one was the Masters of the Universe, the He-Man film by Cannon. Skeletor's defeated, the great Frank Langella playing Skeletor, but it literally at the end of the credits it has him coming out of this ooze, and he'd be like, I'll be back. And I'm like, wow, this Cannon film that destroyed a company has more confidence that it's going to get a sequel than, the G.I. Joe films, which is kind of weird to me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but let's be clear, this didn't get a sequel.
No.
Sadly, it sadly there was no third movie in this franchise. And I mean, and there was a lot of talk about doing a Transformers crossover, right? As a third film that would take place in this continuity. And it's sort of, I mean, let's be crystal clear, the Bay continuity is barely a continuity. I mean, it is a clusterfuck, of a mess. This G.I. Joe continuity is not much better of these first two films. Why not throw them together? But that third film got, just sort of lost in corporate shenanigans, and it would be quite a number of years before they would just decide, ah, screw it, let's just reboot the entire G.I. Joe thing with Snake Eyes' origin story.
I mean, what was I mean, I'm just looking at the budget. The budget was estimated at 130,000, 130 million,
Million.
sorry, and grossed 375, close to 376 million in the US. So we don't have
That's
a,
quite good,
that's not
right? I
bad.
mean,
It says
that's US
worldwide.
alone, it's almost three times as a three time
Oh
multiplier, right?
no, sorry, that is global. So global
Worldwide,
gross
yeah.
was 370. So it's still not bad. Like, it must have made some money.
Yeah, it must have basically come close to breaking even, clearly. I mean, but look at like Superman Returns, did, similar numbers. And then, they're like, ah, screw it. Let's make this terrible, worst version of Superman, instead.
Yeah.
The same sort of thing is here, where it's like, it's kind of on the cusp. Like, both of those movies, it's like, it's good enough that you think, and I think the first, but I think the problem here is that that first movie was kind of on the cusp too.
Yeah.
And so when you have a movie like that, you sort of think, okay, we need to do a course correction. There's money here. There's obviously an audience for this, but we need this to do 25% better. If we could get it to do 50% better, that's great. Then we have a bona fide hit, but we need it to do 25% better. So what are we going to do? We're going to, change the cast up, get The Rock. We're going to, get Bruce Willis. We're going to, have it be more committed to its tone, right? And a little more in the vein of Red and, fun stuff. And then that comes in and it doesn't do the numbers that you want. And so you think sort of like, well, great, we're on the cusp again. We need a pitch that's going to give us that boost for the next one. And uniting it with Transformers could be that pitch. But then you've got to coordinate two franchises. How does Michael Bay feel about that? Is, who are the characters? Who's going to crack that particular script? Is that lessening the Transformers, who are still turning in, billion-dollar numbers at this point? So I don't know. I mean, I think it's a shame because I mean, this is, these are good numbers for a franchise. I mean, these are Superman numbers for a franchise,
Well,
and
I'm just looking.
unfortunately, it stagnated and can't do those numbers anymore.
No, I'm looking at other comparisons. You mentioned sort of super. I was looking at the obviously the one of the other big franchises at this point was Marvel. Like this, Cobra was sorry, Retaliation is 2013. The year before had been the Avengers. But I'm just looking at like for example, like Captain America, First Avenger, budget
Rep.
140 million, global gross. 371 million.
That's right. Perfectly in line with G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yeah, but then they obviously
Right?
had the Avengers, was it sort of its follow-up, which obviously made over $1 billion. So it kind of like you can spread that cost. So they have the confidence because they're aiming towards the big crossover. But this is where
I don't think they had the confidence. And I think this is where Marvel has changed everything, right? Everybody forgets those early Marvel movies were designed to replicate Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four and Rise of the Silver Surfer pulled in those Captain America numbers, right? They were in line with that. That was a hit at the time. The fact that you could do that with, Fantastic Four, which had never had a movie. I mean, it's like Batman and Superman, Marvel had Spider-Man and X-Men. Everyone else is off the charts. You cannot sell everyone else, period, end of fucking story. And the fact that you could make a Fantastic Four movie or a Daredevil movie, and they did those kinds of numbers, was what made Marvel go, oh, we could take a third stringer, irrelevant fucking character like Iron Man, and yeah, I mean, like the Hulk had a bigger profile. At least the Hulk was known to people from the Bill Bixby series and the Ang Lee film. I mean, the Hulk was a much bigger star objectively than Iron Man. But we could take an Iron Man, turn him into Fantastic Four. That was the goal. So Captain America comes in. The goal isn't to make Captain America as we know it. The goal is to make Fantastic Four. My point is, and it's doing those Fantastic Four numbers that it needs. My point is that G.I. Joe is running a few years later, but instead of trying to compete with Captain America and build a franchise, right, that can might eventually put up Avengers numbers, but that is really trying to come in at Fantastic Four level, Captain America, first Avengers level. Instead of trying to do that, it's a franchise that everybody's expectation is it is the Avengers. And that ruins everything. Once you have a billion dollar movie, Everybody's trying. Everybody has to be $1 billion instead of aiming for Fantastic Four. That because that needs to be the bar.
Yeah.
If that's the bar, then Superman Returns, gets a sequel. If that's the bar, the G.I. Joe 3 gets a sequel. Lower the budget, by 20 million on each of those sequels, and that's the solution, right? And instead of trying to retool and whatever, right? But I mean, don't forget, Transformers is pulling in $1 billion at this point. I mean, that is a billion, Transformers 3 is a $1 billion movie.
Yeah. I think that's, you're right, isn't it? That's the thing, isn't it? That they're looking at this. And again, they're not just looking at there's the movie, and then they're going like, cool, but what is the spin-off? Where's the franchise? As in, like, cool, could we, and they obviously do, they're gonna go do a Snake Eyes movie after this, which we'll talk about in the next episode. But like, they're like, cool, could we go do a Roadblock movie? Could we go do a Joe Colton movie? Yes, you did. It's called Red. Could we go do the, can you do this? Can you do, where's the merchandising? Can we do t-shirts? I know, can we basically put like the low Cobra and G.I. Joe logo on everything? Well, yeah, of course you can, but is anyone going to buy it? That sort of thing. It's a weird one that, like you say, they're not, it's that thing of like, what's the strategy for this? And so, yeah, it does feel, it seems to be
There's no,
trapped
I
in
mean,
that, it's trapped in that thing, isn't it? It's trying to sort of satisfy a master that it's never going to satisfy, but it should be aiming for something a little less, which is, yeah.
Well, let's be clear, it's Hasbro, so
Yeah.
there's no strategy. I
No.
mean, and Hasbro as a company is really amazing at aiming a couple years out, right? I mean, and Hasbro had the long-term thinking to, make these movies and push, the mythology, because they knew from the 80s, right? These franchises are loved because of the fiction that goes along with them, right? These are
Yeah.
characters who were invested in, and that's why you want a t-shirt with
Yeah.
Snake Eyes on it, right? If we could do that for Lady J, we could sell, t-shirts of her for, the next 30 years. But that's the way, long-term way you have to think, right? I mean, that's the way, I mean, if Marvel secured $1 billion loan, a billion-dollar line of high-interest credit, and said, look, all we have to do is, we're going to make six movies. All we have to do is turn in Ang Lee, Hulk, Fantastic Four numbers, Daredevil numbers. That's our goal.
Yeah.
And we can do it in-house. That's our goal. As long as we can do those kinds of numbers, we're doing. And they wound up creating a $1 billion franchise, right? But they shot low, right? I mean, yeah. So Hasbro just, I mean, this is part of the problem is that neither of those Transformers movies, except for maybe the first one, these G.I. Joe movies, they don't feel definitive. They don't
No.
feel like the same kind of love was given to them that was given to those Marvel movies. For as much as I rail against them, they tried to, I don't think the first Avengers is a good movie. I think it's a pretty bad movie.
Oh, I love the
I think
first
it's
Avengers,
I
but
think it's
okay.
laughably bad. It starts good, but by the end I'm just like, this is a train wreck of nearly unprecedented proportions. It's terrible. But I know the love that was put into that. Like they tried to create a definitive version of the first Cap story, right? And kudos, you could fall short of that goal. But if it is a definitive version, you have set that character up for sequels, right?
Yeah.
And none of these movies are the definitive version.
No, and I love this notion you have, that the thing of like the definitive version. Like, it's not, it doesn't have to align, you have to have the essence, but then they're going to give you this thing. And I think one of the things I think about with phase one of Marvel, as you say, ain't low, when you look at it, like, yeah, they were like, okay, we're going to give Robert Downey Jr. a shot. Like, it's not, he's
He
damaged,
had
so
just
he's,
got out of prison.
yeah, like he can't really, he's not commanding massive paychecks, so like, we can keep that down. Chris Hemsworth, new coming into the business. Chris Evans, new coming into the business. Jon Favreau was not really known as a sort of a, big action director, so he can't be pushing much. Kenneth Branagh, again, like, take a chance on Thor. Still, he's not a massive director. Like, he's known for like Shakespearean stuff and some of the bits and pieces, but not
Yeah, he'll do it
branding.
cheap and he'll bring in respectability, right? Like he buys you, he's the like Mario Puzo, script, right? For
And then
Superman.
Joe Johnston, and they're like, yeah, we want someone who's like Spielberg adjacent that can do an action adventure. Oh, we did The Rocketeer. Excellent. We'll have Joe Johnston. And he's been the sort of like second unit and done stunt stuff on other people's things. Brilliant. We'll have him. They're all, it's like, as you said, it's sort of like low risk with low sort of fare. And even Joss Whedon doing Avengers was not a big thing. He's been mostly known for TV and for writing and stuff, like, so it
He was
never.
kind of their biggest name, though. I
Yeah.
mean,
Oh, no, definitely at
and but
that
you're
point.
right.
But
I mean, you could, it wasn't like he was
no, well,
top of his game.
no, well, he'd just come off Firefly that had been cancelled after a season. Buffy and Angel were still the biggest thing he'd done. So, like, yeah, he was the TV showrunner, not.
Yeah, Avengers is the movie that shows that he could do that on a blockbuster level.
That's right. He
I
was able
mean,
to
that was
abuse.
taking a chance on him.
That's right. He was able to abuse people on a large film set as well as a TV set. But
Which seems to be the dream of everybody in Hollywood and comics and everywhere else. And I guess that's just the
That's just
world.
that's the American dream.
Well,
but you can see, you're right. But G.I. Joe's not far off. I mean, they're bringing in The Rock, Channing Tatum, young star, on the rise, and there's nobody else really in it that's a name. Ray Parks, if you're a Star Wars fan and you knew the stuff, you kind of know he was Darth Maul and he'd been towed. That was about it. Like, he's not a draw. It's the
Right.
fran It was the name of the franchise that's supposed to be the draw. But you're right. But because they did not introduce the definitive version, where they were like, no, this is the character that you're going to get to know. They don't go beyond the draw of saying, oh, this is G.I. Joe and Cobra. Like, they're still hoping for that IP. Instead of taking the IP forwards and producing that definitive version, they're still leaning back and going, yeah, well, there's a G.I. Joe fan base. We can do, we'll, you know, and then hopefully the action will bring in other people. It's sort of like, that's how it feels,
And
doesn't it?
that stars, right? Yeah, especially for this one. Well, and I think like I wound up being a huge fan of the Fox X-Men movies. Not because they're great, but because they were the primary competition to, the Marvel stuff. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I just thought was overrated, and it pissed me off that everybody loved, if the MCU took a shit, everybody pretended it was made out of gold, and if Fox made a perfectly solid to above average movie that was better than most of the Marvel stuff, everyone acted like it was somehow fake and illegitimate, and that just pissed me off. But you look at those Fox movies. And they have the same problem that the Transformers and G.I. Joe movies have. They are just like one idea after another. They're just always scrambling for what to do next. There's no definitive version. I mean, e even the first I mean the first X-Men movie, does a better job of a definitive version than the first G.I. Joe movie. Transformers is kind of in that line, right? About as
I would
good.
say so. I'd say,
But that's as close as you get in these franchises. And then from then on, it's just kind of like, oh, let's do the next thing, right? There is never a plan that is multi-movies that's ever
No.
executed. Nothing ever, it just feels like another version of this character or a closer version of this character at best. But then that closer version is enmeshed in this bizarre, weird continuity-free
Well, I think that
continuity that's
that's the
a
thing. I think,
mess.
yeah, and I think this is one of those things that comes with these kinds of films is that, let's take those first three X-Men films. Again, varying quality, dated. If you go back and watch them, there are problems now. But you're right, that first film, whether you like it or not, provided like a definitive version where they were like, we're going to cast Patrick Stewart as Xavier. And everyone was like, yeah, spot on. Like, he brings the gravitas and he's bald and it can do it and it's great. To the extent of like, he's now stuck around. Hugh Jackman's like this odd casting as sort of Wolverine, but like takes it on, becomes definitive on a movie scale, so that casual fans, non-comic fans, sort of casual fans, will look at Hugh Jackman as a comparison for Wolverine. I'd even say that their version of like
Ian McKellen as
Ian
Magneto
McKellen as Magneto, yeah, a perfect
is
example of like,
another sort of definitive. You're saying Storm? Yeah. That original Storm,
I think that
Halle
whole
Berry.
setup, Halle Berry, is sort of like, you know, she's not great in that version, but she's trying to, she produces something that's a
But
definitive
she
version.
looks right. She looks, pretty definitive, even if it's
Yeah.
not a great acting moment. Yeah.
No, and so it carries on through the films. And again, I really like the second one. I think the third one is uneven, but again, what they do is they're maintaining that division, going like, oh, we're not going to deviate. This is the characters we're sticking with, and we're going to be doing this stuff. And so you're like, cool. You're right. That Fox stuff that comes later. I love First Class. I think First Class is a really good film. I think it was a brave choice to go back and strip back the characters, and you know, bringing in like Fassbender and all that kind of stuff. It works kind of well. The problem comes, you're right there, and then they go like, the next one's 10 years later, and then the next one's 10 years after that, and you go like, no one's aging in this film, and you've gone from one different set of characters to the next, and it's really inconsistent. And
Why did you drop everyone? And now there's a
yeah,
new. I don't understand the setup.
Jennifer
They haven't
Lawrence has become a,
aged.
that's it. Jennifer Lawrence has become a mega star, so she's the consistent character when she wasn't really intended to be to begin with. Like,
Right.
it feels massively inconsistent. And you're right, because it's shifting with the culture rather than sticking to not even a vague plan. And so you end up with two, I think, two of the worst, Apocalypse and
Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix, which I've not been able to finish, to be perfectly honest.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I can't finish that film. Like,
I would defend both of those movies. But they're not good. I mean, there's no doubt they're not good. I don't think there's been, I mean, I in the bell curve of actual ratings, like remember my theory that like basically everyone gives everything too
Yeah,
much,
everything sort of
stuff
settles
gets
into the
too much
middle
of a one
eventually.
or a 10. And the truth is like, yeah, like Dark Phoenix and Apocalypse, are a lot closer to the others than people think. They're still not good. I mean, I
No.
agree.
But yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I feel that this is the same, but which is why, and we'll finish on this point as we're going, is which is why the next film in the series feels like a really odd choice. Because going back to the X-Men thing, one of the things that they had was like, we're going to do origins movies. You're going to get a
I know.
Wolverine one, and you're going to get a Magneto one, and you're going to get this and that. And everyone was like, oh, that's amazing. I mean, the fact we didn't get the Magneto one is kind of galling to me, because it always sounded
I
really
know.
good, where they were like, oh, we're
I
going to go
agree.
back to the Holocaust and we're going to do all this. And I was like, this sounds like it could be amazing. Like, if it's dealt with carefully and, you know, it really deals with these issues, I think this could be fascinating.
Put a bit. Yeah, no, I agree.
But we ended up with a Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is a mess. But
Yeah, I mean X-Men Origins Wolverine is like is makes Dark Phoenix and New Mutants look like Citizen Kane.
yeah, no, that film is an odd. It's one of those films I've watched several times, just because you know you when you watch it and then you forget about it, and you go, it can't be as bad as I think it is. And then I go
No,
back
and
and I'm like,
what's
oh
messed
no,
up?
it's a real mess. Oh my God. Like the
Yeah,
first,
it is painful to watch. But the weird thing is it's got good sequences in it. There are
Oh yeah.
sequences that it's like if you edited this and get rid of most of the movie, like this is a perfectly good sequence. Like
First
there
15
were,
minutes. The first 15 minutes of
yeah,
that film are actually really solid.
I agree. All those flashbacks, it's like, oh yeah, you're doing something. This is pretty ambitious.
So
Yeah.
yeah. But we'll get to it. But the choice to do sort of like G.I. Joe Origins Snake
Wolverine.
Eyes,
Yeah,
when
I
I'm like,
agree.
you, but you haven't established a
But
baseline.
also,
But
it's
also,
not
you've
in
told,
continuity. It's a
yeah,
new
well,
continuity.
it's a new continuity. But also, you've now told me this twice already.
Yes.
And so, you know, there is no longer any mystery to Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. Like, you have given me this story twice. Like, you know, you've tried to extend it. Now you give me the
Yeah.
whole film about it, and it's different.
Okay.
Like, it's so such an
Yeah, I
odd
was going to say
choice.
like the analogy to the X-Men movies. Well, my point about the X-Men movies is like everyone looks at Marvel and they say, "Right, we're going to build an interconnected set of movies and they're going to make $1 billion." Stop looking at that and look at how they created definitive versions of those characters one piece at a time. And if you do that and they bring in 350 million, that's where your franchise is at. You might be lucky and grow it to a $1 billion franchise, or it might stay at 350 million or taper off. But what you need to do is imitate that definitive bricklaying, careful structure
Hellboy. Hellboy
instead
did that.
of, yeah.
Guillermo del Toro's Hellboy is like, it's not quite Mignola's Hellboy, but for many, like Ron Perlman and that, is the definitive
Oh, yeah.
Hellboy.
Well, so comparing G.I. Joe to the X-Men franchise, people look at X2 and they're like, everyone loved X2. I mean, I think X-Men is better than X2, but I know I'm in the minority. But everyone looks at that and it's like, right, that's the balls to the wall. We've established the characters. Now it's time to just blow shit up and go with it. And everybody says, well, everyone likes X2 more. Let's just start with X2. No, you needed to establish those characters and lay the groundwork before you fuck this world up, right? You can't fuck a world up that you haven't established yet. G.I. Joe 1 fucks the world. G.I. Joe 1 is doing X2, right? It's trying to do a balls to the wall thing that's also an establishing movie. That's why you've got exosuits in the same movie that's establishing the characters without exosuits. You're going to destroy the pit at the same movie you created the pit. It's trying to do X2. It kind of goes off in this weird reset direction, and then it's like, yeah, fuck it. Let's just do X-Men Origins Wolverine. It's like, bad idea. But the other thing that doesn't make any sense, and we'll get to it when we talk about the next movie, is this isn't even the origin story. Because not only is it in its own continuity, but this is one third of the origin story of Snake Eyes. It is designed to be a trilogy, and it does not get you to Snake Eyes. It gets you to a third of the way to Snake Eyes. Why would you do? I mean, at least like X-Men Origins Wolverine has Wolverine in it with claws and everything, right? Like, imagine if X-Men Origins Wolverine was like, right, he's not going to get a suit. He's not going to be with any other mutants in the world. We're just going to maybe give him his claws by 2 hours and 20 minutes in. You'd be like, that's a bad idea, man.
We are going to be talking about, and I'm going to save it for the episode, and we're going to be making a lot of comparisons, because the other thing that this what the other thing that that film came out in the midst of, and I'm going to be, we'll be looking at, is prequels. Prequels up the yazoo. We'll talk about sort of like Star Wars Rogue One and Solo and all that, where I'm like, I kind of have a real problem with prequels.
I have less of a problem than you do, but I know what you're talking about, right? I need the Guido movie that ends with him not firing first. And we're going to characterize for 2 hours how he doesn't fight first, and then he's going to tragically die, at the end of the movie. Like, I need 2 hours of that. And maybe we can even have us co-star some of those stormtroopers in the back of those shots, and we could figure out why they were in those shots. That sounds like what I want to spend 2 hours of my life watching.
Well, it sounded like they were trying to set up 6 hours with Snake Eyes, so we'll talk about it. But
Yes.
anyway,
Right.
let's wrap up.
But
So
this is, hey,
yes,
look, this is a good movie. I
it's
mean, I
fun.
legit think this is a fun, good movie. It is the best G.I. Joe movie. This needs to be this it should be the beacon, right? Take the Baroness from the first movie, take the Cobra Commander from this movie, put Destro with wrist rockets having fun, and have fun with it.
No, if I'd go back and watch any of them, I think I'd watch this one. Definitely watch this one over Rise of Cobra. There's just so much more in this that's just fun, and I'm just enjoy I enjoy more of this. I still have problems with it. I just don't think it pulls its punches, or it becomes a little bit boring towards the end. But yeah, no, this is a this is heads and shoulders above what we were talking about in the last episode.
Every time this is just playing on cable TV, I find myself paying attention during the ninja sequence in the middle, and during the atomic sequence with the
Yeah.
president. And both of those are just enthralling, gripping sequences that whatever I'm doing, I stop and I'm like, wait a minute, this is a really good movie. I like this movie.
Well, that whole, I'm gonna say, I would happily sit and just watch the Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow stuff. It's a short film. I'm just like, yeah, I'm just gonna watch that, and then I'm out, you know. And I might come back for the last bit, but yeah, no, it's good. It has some
Do
good stuff.
that and the nuclear sequence,
Yes.
right? As two short movies, it would be better than this movie,
Yeah.
frankly.
Yeah.
There's good stuff, but yeah.
It is. It is. Anyway, we shall end there. But we have, because we have got one more. We're going to be continue the Snake Eyes, with the Snake Eyes part. Let's say, yeah, part origin story, whatever it's going to be. We'll figure that out when we watch it. And then more. Like, we're going to continue. I've got some of the things that we're going to be doing. I'm going to do another retrospective. I've just been inspired to watch. I'm going to do a 6-episode look back at the X-Files, where I'm just going to ask
Oh,
guests
wow.
on, and they're going to pick an episode. I'm not going to get too deep. I just want to pick episodes. And we'll talk about that episode and sort of people's wider thing. A bit like I did with Doctor Who, where we've done that, where we sort of picked random bits to talk about Doctor Who. Gonna do the same with the X Files now. So, Julian, I'll probably not might knock on your door if you're interested in doing a picking an X Files episode. And we'll jump into
I
that.
can't
But
name
yeah,
any X-Files episode, but
I can't name any of them. We've usually got silly
no.
names, but I can remember lots of them. So we'll be talking about that coming up soon on 20th Century Geek. But
Sounds
yeah.
good.
But yeah, thank you, Julian, for bringing on this
Thank you. This is
Yo
a treat for
Joe.
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn straight.
I
Yeah.
have the only concern I have about doing this is at some point between, there's going to be a point soon where they're like, a new G.I. Joe movie, and I'll be like, all right, well, bring it back to that. This is going to be an ongoing thing. So let's see if this franchise after next week's episode is ever going to be coming back. We will see how
I
they
hope
do it.
so, but
The
odds are
potential.
not good at the moment. I
The
mean,
frustration is the potential is so there that
oh yeah.
it's just, oh well. Anyway, for now, Julian, thank you very much for this. It's been good fun.
Thank you, Scott.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. If you like what we're doing, go check out the Patreon. Julian and I do a whole bunch of stuff on there, and on the sister podcast, Stories Out of Time and Space, we have got so much stuff on there. So many sci-fi films that we have covered. Again, some good, some bad, some foreign, some English, all challenging, all good sort of conversations. And the Twilight Zone is going to be sort of on that feed. We're doing all the Twilight feed. It was on the Patreon. It's now going to be dropping onto the main feed, but there's loads of stuff still on the Patreon. So go check out over there, all the bits and pieces. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. And we shall see you on the next episode.